If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back to Clay and Buck. We had mentioned this before, and it's one of these stories that is getting nowhere near the attention that it would if the political affiliations, if the political reality was just a little different. A North Dakota man, obviously a Democrat in this situation, named Shannon Brandt, called the North Dakota Highway Patrol on Sunday, saying that he had struck a pedestrian in an alleyway in McHenry with his 2003 Ford Explorer. And what he really meant by that is allegedly he used his car as a weapon and ran this individual, Kaylor Ellingson, 18 years old, down, murdered him with his car. That is the allegation. Brandt claimed at the time that Ellingson was part of a Republican extremist group. This is according to the Highway Patrol report. What really happened here was, again, from the police report, there was an argument over politics. And this individual, who is clearly left-wing, Shannon Brandt, ran down this 18-year-old and killed him, allegedly in cold blood here. I mean, they're saying this, obviously, there's a legal implications. You know, you have to always say until there's actually a conviction. But Clay, we all understand that if this were different, if a guy in a metaphorical or real MAGA hat had run down some Democrat, a Hillary voter in his car because they had had an argument over politics, we would be told by CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times that we need a national conversation about the threat of MAGA extremism, white supremacy. Even the two guys involved here, white, doesn't matter. White supremacy, MAGA extremism. This is the political violence that they put right at the feet of Donald Trump himself. Joe Biden gave the he looked like the Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars. Yes. The theatrics around this. It did honestly look like Stalin was giving a speech in the darkest days of the Soviet Union when the purge was going on. And a couple of weeks later, this happens. Now, the left would connect those dots if the political affiliation was different. How many people have even heard about this story, or more to the point, how many have seen a major news network other than Fox even touch on this story?
Well, there's a bunch of things here. First, you're 100% right. Because we know this, one person, I believe I'm correct, Buck, you can correct me if I'm wrong, died in Charlottesville, and it was laid directly at Donald Trump's feet because he had the audacity to come out and say, which you go back and look at the transcript, that many of the people, which he was correct, who were protesting the removal of statues were right, and that this wasn't going to end with Confederate statues, and it would move on to Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and even Abraham Lincoln. He was 100% right about that, what I think is fair to call woke history and the way that it's being attributed.
And yes. The lie is why Joe Biden ran for president, just so everyone remembers that. Joe Biden said, because based on that lie.
The lie was that Trump had called these Nazi protesters very fine people. He did not. He pointed out that there were very fine people on both sides, which was accurate. He directly condemned neo-Nazis and everybody else. You go look at the transcript. This is one of the great lies that was spread by the media to attack Trump. So we know he was held completely responsible for the death of, I believe, that woman in Charlottesville. This story is receiving no attention in the New York Times, no attention at CNN, no attention at the Washington Post, okay? And frankly, we need to get some answers from the North Dakota politicians about what exactly is going on here, Buck, because this guy was only charged with vehicular homicide, which seems like a relatively low charge, and he's out on bail. $50,000, Buck. All he had to post was $50,000, and he's already out on bail. Now, maybe, to be fair, there are some details and circumstances surrounding this case that are not yet public that would justify that being the case. But this is a red state where a Republican supporter was, based on the details that are out right now, killed based on his politics. How in the world are North Dakota politicians not speaking out about this? How is the AG not speaking out? How is the governor not speaking out aggressively? And how does a guy get a vehicular homicide charge for what appears to be an intentional murder? And how does he get it? How is he already back out on the streets for a $50,000 bail? Now, again, I want to be clear. If there are details in this case that are not yet public that can explain that, we will share them on this show. But, Buck, I looked into this pretty aggressively. I'm sure you have as well. I haven't seen anything that would suggest this is anything other than what has been reported so far.
Is this a hate crime is another question we might want to pose for everybody. Killing somebody over politics, it actually is something that the left would argue is terrorism. They would say that this guy is, if he were a Republican who killed a Democrat over a political fight, this would be labeled terrorism.
It would also be labeled on the front page of the newspaper. It would have been a lead story for multiple days. MAGA extremism, this is a natural result and outgrowth of everything that Trump has said.
And look, I mean, we're a country of 330 million people, although given all the illegal immigration, who knows what the real number is. But we're a country of 330 million people. And one individual's actions should not be placed at the feet of an entire political ideology. That is true, but the problem is the Democrats do that to us all the time. Every time, and even sometimes when there's somebody who is in no way actually a conservative or a Republican, but, you know, they had a couple of right-leaning views on something, you know, they believe in secure borders, they're a terrorist, oh my gosh, it's Donald Trump's fault, right? Whatever it may be, they will make the leaps necessary because they see all this as political warfare, friends. You have to understand, it's not about what's true. For the true leftists these days, for the commies that are in our midst, whatever they have to do to achieve political power, they think is inherently justified. Our media certainly is in that category right now. They believe that lying is a necessary step in defeating the MAGA extremism that has swept through the country. And they won't stop and say, wow, Joe Biden's actually really bad at this and we shouldn't be supporting some of these idiotic policies, notably on the crime issue. I mean, I want to get into, if you want to come back into it, there's a story out of the Fox affiliate in L.A. about business owner who describes what's it like to try to run a business right now in Los Angeles. And it's the same thing that it's like to, when I, you know, a business that's open to the public, you know, to run a store, to run a pharmacy. What's it like these days in major cities in America? What's the kind of stuff you have to put up with? I mean, Clay, the stuff that people are dealing with day in and day out because the Democrats refuse to enforce laws, refuse to actually lock people up for the behavior that is destroying peace of mind for millions of people in society right now. This is something that everyone needs to know about. Everyone needs to be talking about. It happens to me here in New York. It's crazy. I get people screaming crazy things on the street. I have friends who are carrying folding blades now, walking around Midtown Manhattan because they're concerned for their safety. That wasn't true 5 years ago.
I just said that I had to have a conversation with my wife about what gas station she's using in our hometown. I've never had those conversations before with her. And that's because our modern era right now, we're living at a high rate of crime that we, frankly, haven't ever seen before. And I think a lot of people are making those choices everywhere. And unfortunately, our president, well, Joe Biden, if you watched him stumbling around on the stage, he looks like he has no testosterone. Every single person in the Biden administration, actually, who is male, looks like he has no testosterone. I watched Biden flailing around on the stage, and I thought to myself, I really wish that Chalk would send them everything they got. Maybe we can just load him up so the next time he's on the phone with Chairman Xi, or he's on the phone talking to Vladimir Putin, speaking at the UN, trying to look tough, maybe he can at least have some ounce of masculinity still left in him. And right now, how many people out there could use this product from Chalk? If you need more energy and focus, and my goodness, does our president ever need it, you need to go right now to CHOQ. Again, let me make this clear. Joe Biden, go to CHOQ right now. I know you don't know how to use the internet. Have one of your staff members go there right now. That's CHOQ.com and get hooked up right now with a major offer. You get 95% off when you use the code CLAY at their website. 95% off. That is CLAY95 is the code. Chalk.com to learn more and sign up there. Again, I implore you, Joe Biden, go there right now. CLAY95 is the code. CHOQ.com. One more time, go to this website right now. CHOQ.com.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, rolling through the Thursday edition of the program. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. As always, if you're missing anything on the show, you can go subscribe to the podcast. We're rapidly advancing on 20 million downloads per month, which is a monster number. That's because of you guys. Get out there and subscribe. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton. We are joined now by Ohio Senate candidate, best-selling author J.D. Vance. J.D., you've been feuding with Tim Ryan. I saw this story. I couldn't believe it. Over who likes Ohio State football more. Now, I'm a pretty big college football fan. I didn't anticipate this being a major brouhaha, so to speak, but I think it probably speaks to the desperation that Tim Ryan is feeling, that he's trying to make this an issue. The campaign's going pretty well, right?
Yeah, it's definitely going well, and it's one of these weird issues where, you know, it reminds me a couple of years ago where, like, every liberal in Hollywood got really into the NFL because they put in racism in the end zone.
Yes.
He did this weird thing where he obsessed for 2 weeks about the fact that Trump was holding a rally, which, of course, I was going to because it was in the state of Ohio, during an Ohio State football game. And, by the way, it was Ohio State Toledo. I think that Ohio State scored, like, basketball team level numbers against Toledo. I was not exactly worried.
It's not the biggest game of the year for the Buckeyes. I think it's fair to say, yes.
Exactly. But the hilarious thing is it turns out he was not watching the game either, and so he had his staff live tweeting the game as if it was him, but he was at somebody's wedding. So, you know, who cares? Like, he goes to a wedding, no one would make an issue out of it, but he decided to make an issue out of this football game even though he was being hypocritical. It's sort of a good illustration of his entire campaign, which is a bit of a cluster.
Hey, JD, it's Buck. We were just talking about the crime issue, and I had seen, when was this, just to make sure I'm giving, just today, that Columbus, Ohio, for example, has already passed 100 homicides. It's a little later, 2 months later, than the record year of homicides they had last year. Ohio statewide and in its major cities, how is it doing when it comes to crime, and what are some of the progressive prosecutors pushing in those cities? You know, we talk about Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Chicago, Illinois. What's going on in Ohio crime-wise?
Well, it's not good, Buck. So we definitely have a crime problem in Ohio. If you look at some of our biggest cities, you know, we have violent crime rates that rival some third-world countries, and, you know, everybody thinks about Chicago, New York, and San Francisco, but there are some cities in Ohio that are doing very poorly. And you're right to ask about the prosecutors, because the thing that they're really doing, it's actually not just the prosecutors, but it's a lot of the very activist local judges. You know, the police officers, I've heard them say, they bring a guy who carjacked a woman at 8 in the morning, and instead of arresting, well, they arrest the person, but instead of putting that person in jail, the judges will let them out. They will so-called divert them from the traditional criminal justice system, and then the cops will arrest the same person the same day committing the same violent crime. And that's happening all over the state of Ohio. And again, this is just a straightforward policy choice. If you look at the statistics, you guys, it's a very consistent story that a substantial share of the violent crime is committed by a handful of people. So this decision to just let violent criminals maraud around our streets is very, very directly causing this. And if we just accept that some people, you know what, they need to spend some time in prison, we could deal with a lot of this problem.
JD, when you look at and talk to people on the streets, you've been all over Ohio. Buck and I have been saying it's inflation / the economy, it's the border, and it's crime. Does that overwhelmingly reflect what you are hearing from your constituents in Ohio about their biggest concerns?
It is. I mean, those are definitely the top three issues, and, you know, you hear about them in different ways, but definitely those are the things that dominate people's minds. I mean, I will say that a lot of people, you know, I might add to that, they're just sick of being told what they're allowed to say and what they're allowed to think. A lot of people in Ohio, obviously, I mean, not just Ohio, but all across the country, headed back to school in the last couple of weeks. And so I think the fact that too many schools are in the game of indoctrinating kids instead of educating kids is coming back to the forefront of parents' minds. They're very worried about the quality of the education their kids are getting. There have been a couple of little rumors about, you know, COVID policy getting a little crazy, some schools remasking and so forth. So I think the school issue remains a big issue. And I think, you know, a lot of people forgot about it because we've just had this very long political summer. But as people get back to the cadence of normal life, I suspect the school issue is going to be top of mind come November as well.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, he is running for Senate in Ohio. J.D., what would be your top priorities? I mean, obviously, with Joe Biden still in office, getting any laws passed would be very difficult. But we're going to be in a presidential election cycle as soon as the midterm cycle ends, you know, finishes up. So the policies that are put forward by the GOP will be essentially on the ballot in 2024. What do you think is critical to get done? I mean, what are some of the things legislatively that you would want to spearhead?
Well, look, I think we could close the border. You know, Biden knows that this is politically unpopular. I think that he'd probably like an exit ramp, especially as he heads into a presidential election year. Of course, if they let him run in the first place. But I think, you know, we could actually say, look, you're not going to get a dollar of your priorities if you don't actually enforce the border, build the border wall, and allow the Border Patrol agents to do what they do best, which is keep us safe. I also think that, you know, to your point about him vetoing laws, you know, we should actually propose legislation and let him veto this stuff, right? Do some things that are politically popular, that are good for the country, that are consistent with our values, and force Joe Biden to say no to it, so that when, you know, we run in 24, whether it's Trump or DeSantis or whoever else, we actually have a set of priorities. It's not just Biden is a bad president. You know, 70% of the country agrees with that. But here are a series of Republican proposals where if we take the country in a different direction, this will affirmatively become law and make your life better.
A big part of that, obviously, JD, is that Tim Ryan has tried to claim that he is a moderate and independent voice while at the same time supporting virtually everything that Joe Biden advocates for. What about that appeal? Is that having success in convincing people that he is a moderate, or are most people seeing through it and recognizing that essentially he's a rubber stamp for everything that Joe Biden wanted to get done?
You know, I think most people see through it, and sort of our job over the next 50 days is to make sure everybody sees through it, because you're exactly right. It's an incredible contrast between the D.C. liberal Tim Ryan, who votes for open borders, who votes to let violent criminals out of prison, who votes to crush the Ohio energy economy, which is one of the things driving inflation, and then the totally reasonable guy that comes on these TV commercials and runs away from every single position where he's taken a vote, even a couple of years ago. I mean, even the student debt issue, right? Not a very popular thing. I think a deeply unfair thing that Joe Biden did, and probably illegal. Tim Ryan voted for a more generous version of student debt relief and then comes around and says, well, I don't actually like what Joe Biden is doing. Well, the reason you say you don't like it is because you know it's not going to get you elected to the Senate. But look, the guy's record is the guy's record, and it's impossible for him to run away from it. We've started to hammer him on the airwaves to let people know that the fake moderate they see in these TV commercials is not the real D.C. Tim Ryan. We're going to keep on doing that, and I think it's already had a big effect. I think it'll continue to have a big effect through the election. So I feel good about our race. I think, you know, those of your listeners who are in Ohio, just let your friends know, let your family know. This guy's not a moderate. He's not a conservative. He is a very radical rubber stamp for Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi. And of course, if people have resources, they can go to jdvance.com, donate to the campaign, and help us fund some of these advertisements that get that message out.
JD, we've got a lot of people listening across Ohio, including on our affiliate WHLO AM in the Cleveland Akron area. And so they can go to your site, as you said. I'm just wondering, are you getting the same kind of dodging the question or dodging the debate treatment with Ryan that we've seen start to? It's just becoming obvious, right? In other races, Cortez Masto in Nevada is not really willing to face the press or square off against Adam Laxalt. Clearly, Fetterman to your east there, Fetterman and Oz. Fetterman's trying to avoid that letter. I mean, so are we seeing the same thing with Tim Ryan? You said that he's misrepresenting himself, but is he also trying to pull a hide in the basement and hope the press carries the water for him routine? What's going on?
Well, you know, Fetterman is of course, the most well-spoken of the Democrats, so Oz has to be careful there. But, you know, in our race in Ohio, we really want to debate, and we think that we are going to have debates. Now, here's the deal. We've accepted a couple debates, and, you know, a couple media organizations said we'd like to host these debates. Our campaign went out immediately and said, okay, those are the two debates that we'll do. Now, the only debate that Tim Ryan has said he wants to do is one put on by the Ohio Debate Commission. And that may sound like a nonpartisan organization, but as we found out a couple of days ago, the Ohio Debate Commission, the leader, is a literal Tim Ryan donor. Like, she's written checks to Tim Ryan. She was on the board of Planned Parenthood. It's basically an activist organization. And so the debate we're having here in Ohio is, yes, we'll do the debate, but we're not doing it with a partisan Democrat organization. We'll do it with nonpartisan media organizations. And I think, you know, our message to Tim Ryan has been, look, you know, I guarantee he's seeing the same thing in his internal numbers that we're seeing in ours. He needs the debates more than we do, and so I hope he'll accept.
I mean, Clay, we've got people on WKRC in Cincinnati, WTAM in Cleveland, WHLO in Akron, WTVN in Columbus, Toledo, Ohio, WSPD. I mean, they can make a big difference here. I think everyone needs to understand. They can make the difference in this race.
No, and in many of those markets, we're number one in the entire market right now. So, JD, I hope they're listening and hope they're enjoying this. One of the things that stood out, and we went after Tim Ryan for this, was he essentially said he supports abortion all the way through 9 months. And obviously, many different states are coming to many different laws as it pertains to that. Are you finding that most Ohioans, JD, find Tim Ryan's position of abortion all the way through 9 months is a radical proposition?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I'm pro-life, and I recognize, you know, different people are going to draw the line maybe differently from what I would like to do. But pretty much all of us can agree that you should not have taxpayer-funded elective abortion at 40 weeks, right? You can't use abortion as birth control, especially that late in pregnancy. And Tim Ryan has repeatedly voted for legislation that not only would allow it nationwide, would invalidate any restriction on abortion nationwide, but would also force Ohio taxpayers to foot the bill. It's really a testament to how crazy the Democrats have gotten on this issue. If you look across the world, Scandinavia, Western Europe, you know, these are typically considered pretty far left societies. You know, they typically ban abortion after 12 to 15 weeks. The only countries that allow nonstop abortion on demand up to the moment of birth are North Korea and China. Like, I don't want to join that club. I guess we're already in that club, but I don't want to be part of that club anymore. And again, I think it just shows Tim Ryan's really out of step here. And people ask, well, why does he take such radical positions? The answer is actually really simple, because the activists that fund his campaign, the reason why he has all these TV commercials saying that he's a moderate is because these activists put a lot of money into his race. And he knows if he crosses these people, he's going to have to run on his own record and he's going to lose.
J.D. Vance, he's going to win, be the next senator from Ohio. You can give him your support. Give us that website one more time, J.D.
Yeah, that's jdvance.com. Appreciate everything. Appreciate what you guys are doing. And everybody in Ohio, let's get out and vote on November 8th.
Thanks, J.D. And Clay, we're thinking he's going to win. He's got to win by a lot, though, folks. He's got to send a message. Can't be close. Get out there. Help him.
Amen. And hopefully the Buckeyes will continue to win, so Tim Ryan will have something to talk about. We'll talk more about some of the craziness that's going on. We got to play this clip for you of Stacey Abrams at some point this hour or next hour, Buck, about the sonograms and heartbeats and, I mean, ultrasound. It's going to blow your mind when you hear it. In the meantime, business owners, you've got to be challenged by the amount of time you're spending on your team, your people, all the HR issues that go with running a company. Managing workforces both in the office and remotely, keeping up with the changing regulations, HR compliance. Look, it's a full-time job by itself. There's a limit to what you can do to keep employees engaged while running your business smoothly. Fortunately, there's Insperity. They put 30-plus years of HR experience to work to help you develop a people strategy that supports your business strategy, focusing on the health of your organization. What if your HR strategy included access to better benefits to help you keep the employees you have and attract new ones? What if it also offered training for your employees to increase their skills so they become more productive? There's always going to be challenges to face in business, but no matter where they come from, Insperity's ready to help you move past them by providing the HR solutions you need. With Insperity, nothing seems impossible. Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Thursday rolling. It's the first day of fall, I guess, right, Buck? As we are pivoting into the fall, we bring on now Alex Berenson. It's cold and flu season. Fauci's gearing up. Fall is here. Alex, I want to start with this because we've been having fun with it, and I know you're going to take us to a dark place eventually with all the results that are coming in, unfortunately, from these COVID shots. So what is your reaction to reports that Fauci would regularly mock the restaurant restrictions, that you would have to wear a mask until you got seated, and also that he said privately, I could get people to believe they need to do anything when he was talking about wearing goggles and double and triple masking. I mean, does it make you hate him even more?
I'd actually be glad if that's true. I know this is from this Trump tell-all, right?
Brian Morgenstern. We had him on the show yesterday talking about it.
Because then at least he'd be in on the joke a little bit, and he's not a complete idiot. So those are our choices, like, I guess I'd rather believe that he's like a cynical, you know what, than like he's just a moron who actually believed the idea that masking while you're walking to the table and not masking while you're eating made any sense. But those are really our choices, right? He's either a fool or a cynic.
Alex, the latest on the vaccines. What do we need to know about? First of all, there are places, Smith College, place I actually spent a lot of time when I was in college. I know it pretty well. It has been an insane asylum in a lot of ways for a long time on a whole bunch of issues. But Smith College, I think, is requiring the most up-to-date vaccination. Why is it? I mean, we were asking you questions 6, 7, 8 months ago now. Like, hey, how effective? They keep saying it's so effective at preventing death. But then we started to see these numbers about even those at high risk, that most of the people who were dying on a monthly basis in this country were vaccinated. Like, how do we disentangle the efficacy component before we talk about the side effect component?
Well, we're at this interesting place. There's been the vaccines are now rejected, I think. I mean, I think almost nobody with the choice is getting this bivalent booster. And, you know, I don't want to depend too much on an anecdote here, but I think I've mentioned my mother a couple of times on the show in the past, and she's an MSNBC watcher and refers to Anthony Fauci as America's doctor without irony.
Got to be a fun Thanksgiving.
and she is probably, or at least is seriously considering not getting the fifth shot. And so I think even for people, you know, she's had COVID a couple of times. She's gotten her four vaccine, you know, her four shots. Even people who are predisposed to believe everything that they've been told for the last 2 years now understand that the vaccine is not protective against infection or transmission. And people are looking around and seeing, you know, we're 2+ years into this. Who do I know who's gotten really sick from COVID? Who do I know who's died from COVID who wasn't 85 years old or 400 pounds? And for most people, almost everybody, the answer to that question is nobody. I don't know anybody for whom this was a serious disease who wasn't sick in some profound way beforehand. And then they say, what about the vaccines? Like, do I know people who had a bad response, who were laid up for a week or whose arms swelled up or not necessarily who died? And they're saying, like, why would I get this? And I think really that's where we are. And there's just these sort of weird pockets of the government and the educational system and to some extent, you know, the medical system that haven't caught up with where everyone is right now.
Yeah, and Alex, I think speaking to that in particular, you were one of the first that I remember talking about the data on kids getting COVID shots. And the Washington Post had like a really upset article. I'm sure you read it 3 or 4 days ago, and I'll hit the stats for everybody out there. Yep. 95% nationwide of parents of 6-month-old to 5-year-olds are not getting them the shot. That is, only 5% are. And the numbers, I think, have stunned some of the so-called health experts. But to me, that's clear evidence of how people are voting. Parents might take risks more so with their own health, but when it comes to their young kids, they're much more risk-averse, and they're overwhelmingly voting no on the COVID shot for young kids.
Yes, you're absolutely – and funny, you mentioned that because I'm writing a Substack about that right now. The Washington Post story got me to look at the numbers again myself. Because, you know, it's pretty stunning, actually, that it's so overwhelming that even the Washington Post is taking notice. And, you know, the lead on my story is Ted Cruz won Elmo Zero, because I don't know if you remember, but...
Sesame Street battle.
That's
yeah.
right. And Cruz said, what are they doing? And it was, oh, Ted Cruz, you know, hates your kids and you can trust Elmo. Well, parents apparently...
Saturday Night Live did a skit making fun of him, but he was right.
That's right.
That's right.
He was right. And it's even worse from the vaccine advocate's point of view than you're saying, because 93% of parents have not gotten their kids even one shot. But then when you look at the 7% who have, I'm talking about in the under five group, 80% of those parents haven't gotten their kids a second shot. So when you look at the number of kids who are fully vaccinated against COVID who are under five, it's less than 2% of all children in that age range. It's unbelievable what a rejection this has been. And so when you read that Washington Post story, as you guys have, it's interesting because the vaccine advocates are like, oh, we didn't let parents know that this was available. We didn't make it easy for them to get it. That's such nonsense. It's just a lie. You couldn't go anywhere in June without hearing about this.
Alex, we have to ask you also about this idea of negative efficacy when it comes to infection for young people. How solid is the data on this? Where is this? Essentially, is there real data right now to suggest that people who are, I think it was it under 12s who got the shot were more likely to be reinfected with COVID? That was the preprint study. Can you just tell us where does that stand?
No, it's extremely solid, and it's really not just under 12. It's just, you know, that the study with the under 12s has, you know, they extended the timeline out far enough to catch the fall into negative efficacy. But if you look at, data on older people, it's the same thing. So with Omicron, it's quite clear that after a couple of months, the vaccine really stops being protective at all, and then it looks like after a couple months after that, your risk of infection actually rises. In other words, you have a bigger risk of being infected if you are vaccinated than if you're not. And there's ways to explain that don't involve actual like biological changes that the vaccine is making in you. For example, you know, the vaccine advocates would say, oh, that's because people who are vaccinated know they're vaccinated and they take more risks. But that's probably not true. The reality is the vaccine basically, the original version of it, which is what you have to get, even if you're getting this, you know, quote unquote bivalent booster, the original version of it causes your body to make antibodies that are not really good against the Omicron spike. And so over time, as your overall number of antibodies wanes, you appear to be left with some that actually increase the risk of your infection. It gets complicated, the details, but that's the top line. The top line is that data is probably correct, and you are probably now at higher risk of Omicron infection if you're vaccinated than if not.
So is essentially this just going to go away and people going to pretend that this whole thing never happened in your mind now? Because clearly kids are not getting these shots. There's no mandates now. Even aggressive cities like New York are doing away with much of their private vaccine mandate. It seems like Biden wants to claim the pandemic's over because he needs to have something that he can claim he didn't screw up. Like, where are we in your mind with these COVID shots?
I think so. I think that's correct. The black swan would be if a new variant comes out that is actually quite dangerous. And then the negative efficacy will really matter. Your listeners and you may recall that I was sort of harping on that a little bit more 3 or 4 months ago. And it seems like that's less of a risk now. It seems that Omicron is just dominant. And Omicron is just not that dangerous to almost everybody. And so everybody's gotten it. A lot of people have gotten it more than once. And the other thing that's happened is if you look at what are called anti-N antibodies, so that's a different part of the virus, which are very durable and which the vaccine does not cause you to make. You can only get those after being infected and recovering. The levels of those in the population are now very high. So that's actually probably protective as well. Whatever happens to the spike, we all have these anti-N antibodies helping us. And there was a period of time when I was worried that the vaccine would actually interfere with the generation of those. But it looks like the vaccine ultimately proves so useless against Omicron that you get it and you get these antibodies, and that's good for you.
So to bring this full circle, the vaccines were so crappy that the good news is that people got COVID anyway and now have natural immunity. Did I get that right?
You basically, that's correct. That's a piece I really need to write to the stack, but yes. that's basically what has happened in the last 6 months.
That's amazing. Alex Berenson, everybody, go check out his Substack. Clay and I are subscribers. It's been fantastic, and he's continued to work on this. And it's not over. If you listen to the Biden administration, they're still pushing it. Fauci's pushing it. Alex, thank you so much, man. As always, we appreciate you.
A great pleasure, guys.
All right, so we talk about the fight for life on this show a lot. And later on, we're actually going to discuss that there's now a push to say that fetal heartbeat is not a real thing. This is now out there. The left-wing media is pushing this idea. They're saying there is no such thing as fetal heartbeat. Really, it's a made up. It's a conspiracy. I'm not making this up. The same people who rely on Planned Parenthood and the massive abortion industrial complex to lie to expectant mothers constantly about what's really going on in their wombs, they want abortion all 9 months of a pregnancy. We talk about issues. We talk about what we can do as individuals, how we can vote. But what if I told you that today, right now, you could take a stand against this evil? You could actually do something to help save lives. You need to know about preborn pregnancy clinics. Now, preborn is operating nationwide. They have a very straightforward and essential mission, a mission from on high, my friends, and that is to save the lives of as many babies as possible. And the way they do this is by providing expectant mothers with free ultrasounds. See, the left hates these ultrasounds. The left is saying it doesn't even show that there's a heartbeat or whatever. Because once a mother sees the life growing in her womb, she realizes what this is and she overwhelmingly will choose life. Preborn clinics have a mission. They want to save 40,000 babies' lives this year. Thousands and thousands have already been saved. Do you want to do something today? Do you want to take action right now? Here's all you have to do. One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will help to rescue five babies' lives. I'm a donor to preborn clinics. I ask that. I know these are tough financial times, but we're talking about life here. Do you care? Will you do something? Not just talk about this, but can you actually help in this mission? Dial #250 on your cell phone right now and say the keyword baby, because that's what this is all about, saving babies. Dial #250 from your phone, say the keyword baby, or if you want to go to the website, go to preborn.com/buck, preborn.com/buck. If it's $10 or $1,000, you can donate, whatever you can do. Every bit helps save the lives of babies. preborn.com/BUCK.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course. The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from my, from this idea of what, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, third hour, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show. I got to say, Clay, that was quite a blast from the past to have Scott Baio from Charles in Charge fame call in.
That was awesome.
I watched so much of that show back in the day. I will say it. I had a huge crush on the actress. I can't even remember her name now. Who was one of the you know what I'm talking about? One of the actresses in that one.
I was a teenager.
She was like, you know, probably in her 20s at the time. I can't remember her name now.
I was in love with, and this is more embarrassing than that, Alyssa Milano on Who's the Boss back in the day, and she clearly has met
Miss Milano. And
really?
I interviewed her.
Where did you meet her?
I interviewed her when I was working at Hill TV on guns and stuff like that. And I will tell you, Clay, she would not approve of a lot of what Mr. Clay Travis says.
I know. Our relationship would not go well. Nicole Eggert, was that the name of the...
Yes.
She was on Baywatch, too, wasn't she?
I mean, sure.
Maybe.
Possibly.
She and Pamela Anderson have made many young men aware that they are heterosexual in their lives. There are a lot of... Some of those girls you see on television for the first time, you're like, wow, she's really pretty. That is... She and Pamela Anderson... We're quite the tandem back in the day.
We also have, to get to this hour, a few things that I want to make sure we talk about. Come back to the immigration issue if we can. We've got Jerome Powell, Clay. We got to touch on this later. Jerome Powell on the economy. Jerome Powell, he's at the phase now where we'll do this in a few minutes, but he's telling everybody, get ready for it. Like, it's going to get ugly out there. They can't hide this anymore, really. The Democrats are trying and telling people, oh, but remember when they're saying, look at the unemployment numbers. Yeah. Let's see where that unemployment number is in 3 months. Let's see where that inflation number is in 3 months. We'll dive into this in a second because there's something that, I mean, this is a real moment here, folks. Stacey Abrams is looking like she's going to lose yet again. And there are some questions for the governor's race in Georgia as to whether she will retain her title of the fake governor of Georgia or she will relinquish her fake governor
lose
title.
So bad, Buck. I want to know how she, you and I were talking about this off air, because how is she going to handle her loss? Because when she lost by 50,000 votes in 2018, she claimed that the election was rigged against her and that, as you said, she was the fake governor of Georgia. She might lose by 10 points in Georgia. I mean, this is not... The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has her down by 8. Marist had her down by 11. She's run an atrocious campaign and is getting destroyed.
So here she is. She's on a panel. She was on a panel where... I'm trying to make sure that I find what this panel was exactly about. But she was on a panel and she said about the issue of fetal heartbeats, right? Remember the Mississippi law that went all up the Supreme Court had to do with fetal heartbeat. Here is Stacey Abrams, who wants to be the next governor of Georgia. You know, I just want people to hear it and then we will analyze. Here's what she says about fetal heartbeat.
It's medically false, it's biologically a lie. There is no such thing as a heartbeat at 6 weeks. It is a manufactured sound designed to convince people that men have the right to take control of a woman's body away from her.
So let's say what we said there, because some people might not have heard it that clearly because that audio is not perfect. She said that the heartbeat that you hear on a sonogram is not real. It's manufactured, designed to take away women's rights to make a choice by men. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah,
here, I have the quote. It is a manufactured sound designed to convince people that men have the right to take control of a woman's body. I mean, I don't say this lightly. This is deranged. This is deranged.
And I shared that video clip, and I'm getting attacked because people are saying, oh, what are you talking? Look. Here's what I will say, and maybe we can open up phone lines for other people who have had the opportunity, 800-282-2882. You just heard what Stacey Abrams said. For many of us, and I will put myself in this camp, I've got three boys, And when you get to go and hear the heartbeat and find out the sex and all of the other things that a sonogram provides, it is a unbelievable experience that I hope everybody out there who is a parent, Buck, I hope you get to experience it one day. It's an unbelievable moment to get to be there with your spouse and see for the first time inside of her pregnant stomach that baby and hear that heartbeat, right? And then going on and being able to see what the sex is going to be if you decide to find out in advance and all those things. For Stacey Abrams to argue that essentially the ultrasound, the sonogram, and the heartbeat, the first time that you hear the heartbeat, is not real and is manufactured so that men believe they can essentially control women's bodies, is so outrageous and outlandish. Now, I can't believe she's saying it.
She's wrong on many levels. And for one thing, men are often the ones who are very supportive of the abortion movement because they want to be able to push or coerce or convince a woman, hey, you know, you don't want it. So this notion that
sex
men
with no
controlling
consequences. There are lots of, yes.
Yeah, no, exactly. Sex with no consequences. There are a lot of women out there who have children who are ardently pro-life, and many of them, millions of them, listen to this program. But Stacey Abrams, what she's trying to argue here, apart from the craziest thing, which is that this is about men controlling women's bodies, that's just the rhetoric of Planned Parenthood and the lies that are all around this. But also, okay, so it's cardiac tissue in a fetus that is pulsating rhythmically. So she's essentially trying to say, because it's not a full-grown heart with an aorta and the different chambers of the heart and all the rest of it, that it's not actually a heartbeat. You know, at some point this starts to be, okay, it's a brainstem in the fetus, but it's not a fully developed brain. So does that mean that it's, you know, what are they going to call it? This gets to where the life begins debate, and it also gets to the way that they try to control with language what is so obvious. I mean, Clay, to your point, when you saw your child, when you saw, you know, your boys in the womb, you were seeing life. I mean, that is actually life.
It is an incredible, and that's why I said to open up the phone lines. Like, however you want to classify what exactly the heart, however you want to medically define a heartbeat and all those things, the idea that the ultrasound and the sonogram and that entire process is designed to give men control over women's bodies is frankly an insult, because my wife's gynecologist and the woman who delivered her our baby is a woman, right? And so are very many of the people who are working in these fields to share the first image. But like many parents out there, you want that printed off, right? I mean, I would bet a huge percentage of our parents and grandparents in this audience have looked at the sonogram of their unborn child and just been... And I'll tell you what I was.
It's their
frankly,
baby.
Like,
I was in
disbelief that you could see that, right? The idea that you put the little cream or whatever it is on the stomach and that you start
conductive
moving
gel,
around.
I believe, yes.
Yes. I mean, it is magical, that moment, that experience. And for Stacey Abrams to be in the closing part of her campaign, look, Buck, she said that Georgia was the worst state in the nation. She, memorably, we talked a lot about this, wore no mask when all the kids around her had to wear a mask. I mean, her entire campaign has been a disaster. But for her closing argument to be, all of you who think you're hearing your baby's heartbeat are actually just members of the patriarchy who are having men's control of women's bodies. This is one of the most tone-deaf things that I have ever seen a politician say.
I can tell you, especially in
a state like Georgia.
I think it is calculated on her behalf insofar as she's going to need the CNN executives and the publishing houses and et cetera of the Democrat apparatus much more than the Democrat voter, because she's going to lose. And this is essentially locking her in for a future of left-wing speaking engagements. She's going to become essentially a celebrity of the Democrat apparatus instead of an actual viable politician, at least for a period of time. So this is pandering, I think, to the Planned Parenthood apparatus and all the rest of it in the final moments here. And keep in mind, Clay, she said on The View last week, she said on The View, maybe we can even track down this audio, abortion at 9 months of a pregnancy. Anytime you talk to somebody about this who's a liberal, they're like, that's not a thing and it doesn't happen and nobody. That is a lie. It is a thing. It is a thing in the law. And it is something that Stacey Abrams said that she supports. In fact, she said, the quote is, until time of birth in some cases, which is another way of saying Stacey Abrams believes that a baby in the 9th month of a pregnancy, 40 weeks, you know, what, however you're going to gauge this, is not a baby, is not a human being. How does she explain this?
She can't. And I thought J.D. Vance, who we had on last hour, actually did a good job of explaining this because his opponent in that Senate race, Tim Ryan, has said the same thing essentially as Stacey Abrams, which is 9-month abortions are okay, just like Stacey Abrams did. In other words, she supports abortion to the limits of the law. And that's not where the vast majority of the American population is. Most Americans believe that first trimester, in some way, there should be a line drawn. Where exactly people can agree and disagree. And some people believe that there should be no limits at all for rape and incest, health of a mother. Everybody has a variety of different opinions there. After the first trimester, it is actually an incredible minority position to believe. And by the time you get to third trimester, only about 10% of Americans believe that that should be legal.
By the way, we have a lot of, we have experts.
That
we
even is
have,
radical.
We have people that run sonograms who are calling
in
right
now to
talk.
Yeah, okay, well, this is fabulous. Am I an idiot or is this a pretty, I just want to hear from everybody else out there who has experienced this. When I saw this Stacey Abrams quote, my jaw dropped. Maybe I'm just an
imbecile.
Think
about all the movies, by the way, where the husband and the wife or the boyfriend and the girlfriend, they go to the doctor's office and the doctor goes, look, you can see your baby's heartbeat. It's the patriarchy. It's a conspiracy.
I legitimately, my jaw dropped when I saw her say this.
I mean, apparently they should go in there and the doctor is supposed to say, yeah, it's just a clump of cells. Oh, okay, sure. We'll get back into this with some of the experts who are on the lines here in a second. The Fed said they were going to do it, my friends, and they did it. Yesterday, they delivered another increase in the interest rate. They had the expected effect on Wall Street, of course, another down day. Stocks getting crushed. Your 401k not looking so good these days. It is the turbulence that we have been telling you to prepare for all year. It is here, just like we said it would be. So if you put a new plan to shield yourself together as best as you can, that's a good thing. If you haven't yet, though, it's not too late. Things are going to get a lot rougher in the months ahead. Take action today. Consider buying gold and silver because gold and silver hold their value over time, especially when markets become turbulent. What's the big problem we're facing right now? Inflation. What is the most well-known hedge against inflation that people often invest in? Precious metals. I rely on the Oxford Gold Group for gold purchases. Their best pricing guarantee and advice make them a great company to work with. They want long-term customers. They want you to build up over time your diversified precious metal holdings. So I have some gold from the Oxford Gold Group. I have some silver from the Oxford Gold Group, and I'm adding more. Gold is key to making sure your portfolio is on solid footing. Call the Oxford Gold Group today. Request your free precious metals investment guide toll-free at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
to the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.